My guest today is Miguel Castro. Miguel, how are you?
Good, Dave. Good to see you again.
Thanks for being back on my show. It's been a few years.
It has. BS Live, last time we did this together.
Yeah. Tell me, what are you doing these days?
A little bit of everything. Full stack, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I'd get bored to tears if I had to stay in one area.
Or one geographic area. Now you're really
One tech
Stockholm
area.
Right now.
Yep. No, I'm doing a lot of Angular on the front end, a lot of Angular on the back end. I still do a lot of WCF and Web API, of course. Just developing all sorts of things, man, and everything in between.
Let's talk about Angular, because I know you did a talk at DevSum here in Stockholm.
Yeah, sure did.
Yesterday or the day before, on was it Angular 1 or Angular 2 or 4?
You got to call it the right thing.
Yeah, let's leave the syntax out here.
Angular JS is what is otherwise known as Angular 1.x.
Okay.
And then Angular is 2 and greater, which I believe they're on version 4 now.
Right. It took them 5 years to get to version 2. And
then they skipped 3.
To get to version 4.
Well, they skipped 3.
They skipped 3.
They
skipped, okay.
They went right to 4.
Must be somebody at Microsoft.
But mine was on AngularJS. It was
so the older one.
It was a bridge course. Was a course called, it was a session. I say course because I just released a Pluralsight course on that.
Okay.
So this talk is kind of a very summarized version of my upcoming course. It'll be released in 1 or 2 weeks.
Oh, good. This will be out a little bit after that, so it'll be good timing.
Exactly. And it's called Building Component-Based Applications in AngularJS. And the reason it's a bridge course, it's because it's in AngularJS, which is still my belief and my experience that is where the masses still are. Eventually, everybody will get to the new Angular. Eventually, right. I will too. But I got to, you know, I support clients. And right now, all my customers are on AngularJS, and they're going to stay there for a while. They have no desire or ability right now to make the transition. Yeah. And one of the things that differs Angular 2, I'm going to call it the old lingo because it's a little easier.
Okay. You know? We'll call it classic Angular.
There you go.
And the new Angular.
So one of the things that differs the new Angular from classic Angular is the fact that the new Angular forces you down this component-based design. It's the only way to do things.
Okay.
And Google actually backported that concept to AngularJS back in 1.5.
I see.
So it was a new feature for the new Angular, but the old Angular got it. And it's not just about writing a component. It's about designing an application as a layer of components. So it's a different kind of design, a different design paradigm.
All right.
And I've done 3 or 4 applications with that design, and it's actually very, very cool. Very cool way of doing apps.
So let me make sure I understand when you say backported. So once Angular 1.4 came out, then the components were supported. But you as a developer didn't have to adopt them if you didn't want to continue doing
Angular 1.5. But that's exactly right.
You could have continued, and probably most people did. They just continued doing things the same way.
And let me be clear. I'm using the term backported probably a little too loosely there. Mm-hmm. How they did it, I mean, backported sometimes implies that they took the new code and shifted it back to the old one and modified it. They didn't. Obviously, it's a whole new product. Angular 2 is a whole new product. But the concept of components, they added to Angular 1.5.
Okay. All right. So they added it. It's a feature available. I'm guessing most of your clients, they saw it and they thought, you know what? It's working the way I'm doing it now.
Nobody knew what the hell to do. Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. That's actually the entire motivation behind my Pluralsight course and behind this talk that I did.
Yeah. What do you teach them? First of all, the motivation, I think, for going to, there's two motivations, right? Going to a modular system is one, you get the benefits of modular systems.
Mm-hmm.
So you have or componentized systems, more easily testable, single responsibility components.
Isolation, absolutely.
That sort of thing. The other is, I think it makes it easier to transition when you want to upgrade.
That is why I call it a bridge course. That's exactly right. And that was actually my main motivation when I wrote the course and when I wrote the session for DevSum is, since component-based design is, to me, it's probably the biggest hurdle in Angular 2 because everything else, I mean, you can learn TypeScript. We're programming junkies, right? We like learning new languages anyway.
Sure.
So learning TypeScript's not really a hurdle for most of us,
right.
For most people, I think. And there's a lot of good material out there on it. And then learning how to install the ecosystem in Angular 2 is a little bit of a pain.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you can, once you get that, like right now they just released a CLI.
Yep.
And with that, you can install the ecosystem rather easily.
Right.
You know? So those two hurdles are easy to overcome, but the whole getting your mind around how to rethink application design.
Paradigm. Yeah.
Exactly. The fact that you can do this now in AngularJS, I thought was really good and really important. So teaching that to existing developers that are on existing AngularJS, or currently on AngularJS that haven't made the leap. When they do make the leap, they only have those other two hurdles to overcome. They've already mastered it because it really is the same. A lot of stuff that I point out in both my course and my session, when I show a slide or I show some code, I point out this is identical in Angular 2. So even though I'm giving you a session on AngularJS, mm-hmm. doing this in Angular 2 is exactly the same, just with Angular 2 syntax.
Okay, you know what I mean? Haven't used the components in Angular 1. What is it, a matter of adding the add component attribute to a class, or what? How does that work?
No, there are no attributes in Angular 1. Okay, that's a TypeScript thing.
So let's get into the details here. How actually do you add components?
Basically, they're more similar to writing directives.
Okay.
So in Angular 1, you can write directives with the directive keyword on the Angular module, okay. And with components, you use the component keyword. The syntax for setting it up is just a little different.
Okay.
You know, the interface for bringing properties into it and out of it is just a little different. And a big difference is that with directives, you can use them as both attributes or tags, components or tags only. But they're a little easier to write as tags than directives. Directives, because of the link function, okay. Things can get a little weird. With components, things are a little more straightforward. But the rest is really the design of an application, the setting up a hierarchy of components within components.
Okay.
And you add something like the Angular UI router, which is a multi-level router that has full back button support and lets you control just parts of an application instead of an entire view.
Right.
It's almost a match made in heaven with those two things.
Was that new in 1.5 Angular?
No, Angular UI router has been around for a while. Okay. And the interesting thing is with Angular 1.5, Google also released the component router.
Hmm.
But now they've marked it as deprecated.
They released it and deprecated.
They released it and deprecated and are actually recommending Angular UI router.
Oh, I see.
For this. What the reasons are, I've heard a couple of reasons. I don't want to start rumors or anything, okay. But Google has been known to give AngularJS features that they've already added to Angular 2. Hmm. Like I said, the backporting, right. If you will. So the router may fall into that. We'll see. Just to keep the routers in sync. The routers in Angular seem to be a big topic because that's actually the whole reason why they shot from Angular 2 to Angular 4. It's because I can't remember the exact story, but the router had changed, but nothing else had changed. So they didn't want to change the version number to 3 if all that changed was the router. So they modified everything else a little more, and then they upped the whole thing to 4. I don't know. Something weird like that. You never know.
Talk. I work for a company that doesn't name products very well.
No,
in my opinion.
Come on.
We do a lot of things right.
Say it isn't so.
Mind you, but what the heck was wrong with Project Oxford? That was a good name.
There's a whole, we did a whole Jeopardy thing in VS Live once, a little Jeopardy game
the
show.
The old name?
No, just a Jeopardy thing on Microsoft code names.
Uh-huh. Indigo was a good name.
Exactly.
What's wrong with Indigo?
They give you Indigo, and you have to, you know, you have to hit the button and say, you know, what is WCF?
Good memory.
Yeah. Are you kidding? I'm in the middle of that world. Remember?
It was a long time ago, though.
Yep.
So you're encouraging people not only to start using components, but to start re-architecting their Angular 1 application or AngularJS application,
or at least new construction going forward.
New construction.
And of course that. That always opens up the argument, but if it's new construction, should that all be in Angular 2?
Oh, well, if you can merge them, can't they play nice together?
No, they don't. They really don't play nice together. Okay. But you can't tell somebody to hop on the new shiny coin just because you think it's cool. Not a larger customer.
Yeah, there's a cost to it.
It just doesn't work that way. Yeah, there's training involved. There's skill sets involved. There's budgets involved. There's a whole lot of reasons for staying with the current tech. I don't want to use the word old because it sounds, you know, degrading, but it's
But in the JavaScript world, which moves so fast, then there's always something new coming around the corner.
They say a new JavaScript library gets released every
40.
There goes another one right now.
Yeah. So as they're building out new components and they're modularizing, they're using these components, and then how do you have a strategy for then once they have these in Angular 1? Or AngularJS as components, then eventually migrating that to Angular 2.
Well, there is no actual migration, but once you have the design down and you have your application set up as a layer, as a structure, a hierarchy, if you will, of components, my personal opinion is that you should not have a problem. If you wanted to rewrite that same application in Angular 2, you should be able to do it much easier.
It's still a complete rewrite.
It would be.
But it's not a complete re-architecture.
Correct. That's exactly
that's really
right. That's exactly right.
Good stuff. Is there anything we haven't covered that we should on this topic?
Just tell everybody to watch my course. Hey, watch my course, people.
Pluralsight.com. Miguel Castro.
It was fun. It was fun to write. I do a really nice trick that I came up with in. I did it in the session yesterday, and because it came from the course, and I show the design on paper on PowerPoint, right? Here's the application structure. Here's the application frame. Here's the root component. Here's a component that's going to go inside. And here's another view of another component. Or this one's going to have two more inside of it. Uh-huh. And it's kind of a hierarchy. And right. I literally show this with boxes.
Yeah.
And then I translate that design to code. But I want to validate the design. I want to see if the structure of my components on my views on the browser really do match what I designed on paper.
Okay.
So I wanted to put a border around every component.
I didn't want to. It would look like the
right,
slide.
Right, exactly. But I didn't want to modify the component code. Angular doesn't give you any straightforward way of iterating through the content, the code constructs that you've added to it, like the views, the controllers, the components, the directives.
Right.
But they're in there. They're in the module. And it took a little bit of JSON stringifying, of finding out the structure, and I came up with a piece of code that actually loops through my Angular module, finds all the components, and modifies their template to add a bordered div around it with the component name in the upper left-hand corner for development purposes only. And I turned it on with a value flag. And it was cool because when I show it, I turn it on, and then I back to the slide, and I say, "Here's, remember this slide? Now take a look at the screen." And the screen looks identical to the slide with the component structure.
I'm a visual guy myself.
It was very, very cool.
Presentations, I haven't gone to the work you've gone to, but I like pictures of ideas.
This is one of those ideas that came out of necessity because I'm the one when I was writing the course app, the case study app for my course. I wanted this feature. I wanted to see what my component structure looks like.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to go into 25 different components
right.
and add div tags to all of them because then I have to remove it. You can do it with style and everything.
Yeah, no,
but I didn't want to modify the code.
You wanted your components to be open to extensibility but closed to modification.
You've absolutely.
Accomplished exactly that.
Absolutely. Put some solid into it, right?
Miguel, thank you so much.
Pleasure. This is Miguel Castro. It's always great to be in an awesome city, working with good technology and seeing good friends.